You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, guys, it is my pleasure to introduce Jim Francis Meza. Oh, that's me, actually. So we have a special show, a rather unique show today, because I'm going to have, as they say, blood is thicker than water. I'm going to have my brother-in-law be on the show, and then I'm going to try to cram one other buddy of mine on the show as well. So that's a feat in and of itself. I'd like to thank, first and foremost, Sam, the owner of LA Talk Radio. So if you don't know yet, it's LA Talk Radio, and the name of my show is Almost Famous. It's highly important that you guys tune in, because you never know what kind of shenanigans I'm going to be up to. So, as you guys know, I'm a former limo driver. I drove for a lot of people, a lot of famous and non-famous folks. I take care of everybody alike, and I had some pretty interesting characters. At some point, I drove a person by the name of, Ashton Kutcher? And a lot of people, he's been in the news lately as of late because of Diddy, right? I'm not saying that he got Diddy, all right, even though it sounds funny. But I drove him one time, and on that occasion, I had him in the car. And he was not the kindest person you would imagine, which I was taken aback. And I'll tell you real quick, because I thought, here's the guy that they punked. And, you know, I thought he was punking me. When he gets into the car, he's got a couple brewskis, a couple beers, sets them down. And I'd sit, go on to say, hey, you know, this is where the itinerary is saying this, and this is the place you're supposed to go. ETA is more or less the time, right? And he gets in the car, and then he's such a smart aleck. I mean, this guy couldn't have been the worst dick I've ever had in the car. He told me, like, you know, he tells me, I says, hey, sir, you know, it was summertime, so around this time, right? Summer is upon us, right? So it's almost summer, 20th. We're almost there, just about one day. Happy Juneteenth, by the way. You guys are just tuning in. Almost Famous, Jim Francis Meza. I had him in the car, and then I went out to say, hey, Ashton, you know, sir, I have some cold water in the front, should you need any, in the ice chest. And he went out to say, you know, does it look like I need any cold water? I have these cup of beers. And I was like, well, I was just checking to see if you wanted to be hydrated with some water, you know. But yeah, he was having his beer, and he was being quite a jerk to me. And, you know, a lot of people just in Tinseltown, you know, you would think they're going to be a certain way. Like, I remember Paul Rubens. God rest his soul, Pee Wee Herman. Everybody's like, oh, Pee Wee. Pee Wee's the coolest. And I had a friend of mine pick him up. And Pee Wee Herman, he did tell him, hey, it's Pee Wee Herman. He goes, my name's Paul Rubin. It was like, couldn't be like the most serious, like ominous cat ever, you know, like real serious, like dead serious. And he gave him this look. And, you know, that if looks can kill, right? But yeah, that was Paul Rubin. And he's a totally serious guy. And this is all an act. I get it. You know, I'm an actor myself. I know about acting. And yeah, it's all an act. You play a certain part, and people just think you're that goofy guy that goes up there. And you know, no, you forget even some of the lines at times. Not, you know, but anyway, today's show, guys, is going to be an awesome show. One for the books. I have, you know, I don't want to take too much time of his precious time, because I know he's got to mix music and whatnot. And so I'd like to have him tell me the story of how all this got started and everything. The guy has a very, very interesting look. And until you see him, you will understand what I mean. I mean, it's fantastic. It's just think like, you know, what's that? Typo Negative meets industrial music, Tool. And then there's the sense, there's like electronic music all at once. So it's pretty hodgepodge. It's great. And he's brilliant. He's a genius at what he does. So without further ado, guys, help me welcome my brother-in-law, the one and only 1-0. Yo, how are you, my man?
What's up? Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I love your look. God, you know what's crazy? Like, people would think, well, that's your brother-in-law. You ought to know how he looks and stuff when he comes on the shows. But I had never seen you this way. And this particular look, it suits you well, by the way. You look very handsome.
Thank you. Yeah. The look is actually something that is, you know, I'm passionate about. I'm very into sci-fi.
Right.
You know, cyberpunk music, mid-tempo is my style. So
yeah, cyberpunk.
Anything sci-fi related, I really, really enjoy it.
Right.
I love that, the storyline. So
yeah, are you a Trekkie or a Star Wars fanatic?
my dad was a Trekkie, and growing up, I watched all the original Star Treks, and then
yeah,
we got into the Next Generation.
Okay.
Watch that pretty heavily.
Sure.
But Star Wars as well. You know, that was a big one when I was growing up.
Hey, my buddy, a good friend of mine, Paul, he was one of those characters that, like, I don't know, they had all that makeup and whatever else they look like. It's somewhat like, I would have to say, I don't know if I had to describe him like, what is it, Predator? You know, those guys in the Next Generation? They would come out and had all that heavy makeup on and whatnot. He was one of those guys, and he like still gets residuals to this day. So it's pretty fantastic, you know, how you could carve out, you know, a niche. So speaking of carving out your own niche and making your own name in the footprint at that, I'd like to know a little bit of how all this came about. I understand you know, you like music, and on the other hand, you're into sci-fi. How do both these worlds, how do they meet? How do they collide, if you will? What's the fusion? What got you started in the music business, my man?
Well, you know, when I was a child, my brother was heavily into music, mostly early 80s metal. And Iron Maiden was one of the biggest bands, you know, one of his most favorite bands. And if you know Iron Maiden, you know their album covers.
Run to the hills.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. Rock on, baby.
So, basically I used to sit in his room and just stare at the album covers and listen to Iron Maiden when I was a child. But this realm that I'm in now is, like you said, it's a fusion of heavy metal background, rock background. I love all music, but my influence is mainly metal and rock. A little bit of grunge in the 90s when it was popular.
Alice in Chains, baby.
Yeah, and then I started getting into the rave scene in Los Angeles when it was a little more underground, and fell in love with EDM music. So I always had a passion. You know, I'd watch these DJs at these shows, and I fell in love with that. And I always had a dream to and an aspiration to become that. So, you know, getting a little older, I figured I would dive into music theory and learn music and learn how to produce. I use a program called Ableton Live.
Okay.
It's one of the more popular digital audio softwares out there. And I'm a computer guy, so, I picked it up pretty easily. And it was just extremely, extremely stimulating, more so than video games, because that's all I used to do when I was younger, play video games, right? So
absolutely.
Producing music, it just became a passion out of the blue. Mainly, the first time my wife and I caught COVID, she almost passed from it.
Yeah, it was tough, man. And, it was a tough, dark time, huh?
Exactly. And, you know, there was a lot of feelings from that. And I think a lot of those emotions came out in my music. My music's a little more dark.
Right.
Got a little like you said, industrial heavy background to it. So blended with some EDM, which is what I love. So,
and so those two things have germinated into something quite magical. It's unbelievable. In such a short time, you managed to you know, pretty much gain a following, a cult following that's pretty stable. Tell us about how you have a video out there, and this all started, what, like a year ago, a year and a half ago?
It started in late 2020. You know, I first just started messing around, and I took some online music courses and then production courses and kind of learned the basics. And then I just started playing around with the software and learning how to make arrangements. And it just kind of took off from there. I would do a lot of networking online. And I think for all the new guys out there, networking is the most important thing. Get out there, talk to your fellow producers and musicians and artists. Get into groups, get on to Patreons, get on to Discord groups. Just get out there and communicate and talk. And, you know, everyone's passionate about it and they love talking about it and they're always willing to share information. So I like to absorb information from other people, especially producers that I know are much, much more seasoned than myself.
Speaking of that, which I'd like to also interject and ask you regarding, like, your collaborations. I mean, just recently you had your first major show, right? Like, where your show where you went out there and you actually had people dancing to your music and just, like, headbanging and pounding and doing whatever they were doing to your music. What sense do you get from, like, how does one... Did you, like, pinch yourself? And I hate to sound cliche and, you know, the whole thing of, like, oh, my God, I thought it was so surreal. But it was surreal, right? Like, you hadn't had that up until this moment where you did your first show. What was that like?
Very, very surreal. It's, you know, looking out at the crowd through this mask and seeing people dance to music that you produced is like no other feeling. Mm-hmm. That is one of the reasons I do this, is to be an inspiration to other people, to make people happy, to have them dance, to, you know, just be there and be part of it. It absolutely unbelievable feeling. You know, you're in the spotlight. You got smoke around you. People are just going crazy. It's
bananas, right? Did you pinch yourself at the end of the night and said, is this only a dream that I fall off my bed?
Right. Yeah, I never thought in a million years I would be in this position.
Well, I'll tell you, I did, by the way. 10, I always knew that. I was telling my girl, your wonderful, lovely sister, my wife, beautiful Stephanie, I wanted to say that she always talks highly, obviously you're her brother, but she always talks highly of how quick you can catch on to anything you set your mind to and envision and set out with that purpose. You always seem to absorb, like you said, absorb it and then digest it. And then, you know, like the fruit of it is pretty insane, because I heard some of your music, like early on, I used to listen to Nine Inch Nails growing up, you know, like Nine Inch Nails and that was kind of like the thing of the day. And then Tool, bands like that of that sort. And I'll tell you that when I hear your music, it's got a little bit of everything. And the fusion, it's a hodgepodge. It's like a lot going on. It's certainly sends shockwaves. I think, like, people are really going to like it. And a lot of folks have. I mean, you have quite a following. I mean, you have folks, and it's all organic. It's organic, right? Like, you didn't set out to you know, hey, follow my thing or like my videos. People started liking your videos. It's something, what is that, 30? You have one that's 50,000 views? What are your YouTube?
Yeah, so, So mainly, I started on a platform called SoundCloud and developed pretty big following there. Within the last year, I signed on with Aimed Ahead Records. They're really awesome. Popular on YouTube. They're big in the gaming industry. So there's a big following there.
Very
and
cool.
Then, Spotify, you know, I think Aimed Ahead for the Spotify plays because they are, they have a big reach and, they liked my music and they signed me on and it's been a great, adventure with them so far. I've gotten to meet amazing producers from all over the world and, actually working on a couple collaborations with people over in Europe.
Wow.
They are also part of Aimed Ahead, and I can't wait to get these releases out.
That's fantastic, man. Congrats and kudos to you, man. You're doing a lot, and it's paying dividends little by little. I'm starting to see, you know, like you always feel a zen occasionally, like, hey, you know, guys, check it out. So tell us, let's talk shop regarding this whole John Wick. We love the series. I mean, for those of you who are not John Wick fans, I mean, you're freaking missing out. You're living in a whole other, I would say, like an outer world. But, I mean, seriously, who doesn't like John Wick? I mean, that said, the music, it's like at the center, the essence of the music. A lot of it I can relate to, and I could also say it resonates with so many people, but it's kind of in the vein of sort of what the kind of music you produce. Right? Wouldn't you say?
Right. Yeah, definitely. And it's funny you bring that up because like Castlevania, the person who produced the music for the movie, he was the inspiration, one of the main inspirations for me to actually take it to the next level and get started.
Holy shit. That's crazy.
So my goal is to be like him and get into a movie production.
Hell yeah.
And hopefully my music can land in a movie.
I think it will, man. Put God first and claim it, bro. Just put it out there. Law of attraction, manifestation, you know, all that wonderful good stuff. Put it out there, man. You got a lot. Yeah. You definitely have something so special here, I'll say. Lightning in the bottle, as they would say. You have something here. I would keep pursuing what you're doing, and with everything you got, it's totally cool that it's a hobby, but now it's more than just a hobby. Like you said, it keeps you away from, it's exhilarating, electrifying, it brings something else to you, and it just, now you're a part of something bigger, dude, because now in some way, shape, or form, you're like kind of a synergy with you and your listeners, right, and your viewership. And the fact that you're able to touch these lives in some way, shape, or form, it's pretty otherworldly, right? It's kind of something else, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And, you know, even if I had one follower and I made them happy with my music, that would be good enough for me.
Right.
I think I just hit the 1,000 follower mark on Spotify.
That's, wow.
Like you said, it is all organic. You know, I wanted to build that organically. I wanted to watch that growth happen over the last year.
Yeah.
And it just continues to grow. And,
right.
You know, gotta keep a balance between this and my family. But at the same time, I'm doing what I love. And
right.
Like I said, for all you new guys out there, pursue your dreams. Don't give up. Keep going. Practice every day, network.
Hell yeah. So let's talk about the collaborations. You're talking about collaborating. What do you project in the next couple of years? Who would you like to collaborate with? I heard movies. You'd like to obviously have your music featured in movies, which I consider already a done deal. It's kind of the way of the future. Your music seems to be going in that direction anyway. And so you strike me as, yeah, like the kind of person that will have their music in the future in a movie. Hopefully John Wick 6. You never know, right? That guy has so many lives. But who would you like to collaborate as far as making music with? Who's like some of your idols within the EDM realm?
Definitely, like Castlevania, the John Wick series producer. I've always loved his music. If some of you may see this and look at me and say, "Oh, he looks like Reaper." Reaper's another very big drum and bass artist that I love.
Cool.
You know, his style is very energetic, and he would be one. There's a couple others in Europe, female artists by the name of Selena. She's kind of the cyber queen, we call her, in this industry. She's
right.
Cyberpunk music.
Oh, yeah.
Very popular artist.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few other names out there. Lomac is another good friend of mine that I haven't met in person, but online. And
pretty cool, dude.
He's an organic musician, plays guitar, and he's another one I want to get with and been trying to collaborate with for quite some time.
You're phenomenal, bro. Like, honestly, I'm geeking out because, you know, just talking about all this, it reminds me of dreams and aspirations that I had as a kid, you know, and I've kind of been able to fulfill a lot of them. But I'm not here to talk about myself. I'm here to talk about 1-0. But I will say, like, dreams do come true, man. I mean, hard work. It's a lot of toil and, you know, like, bumps, scrapes, and burns and whatnot. You're going to get burned a lot in this business. But when it's all said and done, man, it's only the strong, man, that survive. Only the ones that keep at it, you know, unwavering determination. And so what other instruments do you see yourself playing, bro? Like, aside of what you do already, would you like to incorporate guitar? Because I could lend some of my guitar chops to it, you know?
Yeah, I got a lot of people that want to incorporate organic instruments. Right now, I'm only touching the DJ controller and a little bit of a synthesizer. I don't play much because I'm just more of a computer guy, and
yeah,
I work better. My workflow is much better with a mouse and keyboard. So,
okay. Hey, could you play something? I wonder if you could play something through the speaker system. I want to hear it all blare. I mean, this guy is incredible. I wonder if you can hear it. If not, once we're through with our interview, I can also put those handles in where to reach your music at, so that way you guys can really get a kick and get your mind blown, fucking smithereens.
let me load this up. I have a record box open right now.
Cool, man. I want to hear some of that stuff. I mean, this stuff, I'm telling you, 1-0 Knox is my brother-in-law, but this dude fucking kicks ass. You know? I grew up with, like, rock and punk. Oh, here we go. One zero, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow, 1-0. Fuck, holy shit. No wonder you got quite a following. And there's so many others. There's the one with the girl. It's got like on the cover this girl, and then there's looks like a sun that it's like over encompassing everything. It looks like a fireball of sorts. It's really, really magnetic. Like when you watch it, it like pulls you in. It's really awesome, dude. But worth mentioning, 10 is spelled O-N-E-Z-R-O. That's also your social media handles, correct? That's so people can find you.
It's actually 0-N-E-Z-R-0. You know what? The search engine algorithms have picked up, even if you type 0-N-E-Z-R-0, it's gonna find me. So yeah, you can find me on all streaming platforms, YouTube, all social media.
Yeah, you're pretty spectacular, dude, and I can hardly wait to see what the future is going to unfold with you. What is it going to look like in the next year? Because you're moving really fast, and I don't want to like spoil it for you or for anybody else, because I'm privy to some of the information you've talked to me about. You're going places like real fast. Like this whole thing is literally like shooting through the roof. You're like, you're blowing up, man. And I just want you to know that, aside of the fact that, you know, we're like brethren, you know, cause you're my brother-in-law. I just want you to know that I'm really, as an artist, looking from the outside in, looking to the music realm, cause I don't really, other than, you know, some of the songs that I write that are more rock based or whatever. I got to tell you, man, you know, kudos to you, bro. Like, I tip my hat off to you, man. I mean, metaphorically and physically. Look, I'm gonna do it just for you, dude. Honestly, you're a hell of a freaking musician to have been able to kind of master so many things computer wise and get all this stuff and be able to toy around with it and create such a concoction of music. It's really something else, dude. For real. I mean that. And so keep us posted. So you see my boy 10, I will make sure that that we have your stuff out there. I'll try to text it or, you know, in the comments section and on YouTube. I'm sure Sam will help me out. But otherwise, man, I'm really like grateful that you're on here. I'm sure you have a busy schedule with family and other things you have going. And I just wanted to thank you and once again for taking the time to be here on LA Talk Radio, Almost Famous, with yours truly, right? So thank you so much, 10. Anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
Just to all you producers out there that are aspiring, you know, just keep that passion alive, keep the drive. Produce every day, practice every day. Get in with those networks, you know, visit your local venues and talk to people and just communicate, and you'll move fast. You'll move very fast in that way. So that's how I did it. I wanted to share that information with you guys. So if you're an aspiring artist, keep those dreams alive.
And we'll keep the dream alive for sure. Keep watering that plant, man. If you ever need a guitarist again, I can't. That's the second time I chime in on that. But I'd love to be able to coalesce and sort of like work that angle with you and try to get maybe we can create a fusion that will knock everybody's socks off, so to speak, together. You never know, right? But
yeah.
Or go ahead.
Definitely. I'm always open to new experiences and collaborations. So
yeah.
Yeah, let's get together.
For sure. My brother, take care. God bless you and your fam bam. Say hello to everyone for us, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, LA Talk Radio, for having me. Appreciate it.
This is so awesome, guys. Beyond grateful. I mean, almost in some ways nostalgic, because growing up, you have all these DJs around and rock stars that you knew growing up, you know, Richard Humpty Vision and people like that, including, I remember LA when I was growing up. My older cousins would talk about going to house parties, and that was a real thing, you know, the house parties and the flyer parties. And believe it or not, there was Heckle and Jekyll was Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite, and his brother used to play at a they would play the backyard parties many years ago, many moons ago. And there's people that were DJing and stuff. And it's fascinating to see when, you know, like you see these kids and then they grow up to be big artists in their own capacity. But, yeah, I'm really, really stoked to see, what happens with my brother-in-law 10. I mean, he's making the dream come true, right? So, and so can you start picking up those instruments and sky is the limit, right? As far as what you do. I'm also going to have, I'm getting word right now that my boy Jorge Zelaya from Mexico City, who now resides here in the States, he's a transplant, is logging on, and we like to bring him on before he, because I know he has a busy schedule. He's going to, I don't know where he's going, but he's going to catch a plane. He's going to board a plane soon. My man, Jorge Zelaya, how you doing, buddy?
I'm fine, brother. How are you? Are you hearing me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Dude, you grew out your hair. Are you going to join a heavy metal band? Your hair is nice. I love it.
Okay.
You love your hair. Thank it's you. Great. I was going to ask you because you came from Mexico. In Mexico, you're kind of a fixture. You're a famous person in Mexico. And you came to the States. And what was it like? I mean, like the whole process, everything changes, right? You go from a known to almost an unknown, so to speak. Nobody kind of knows you here. You have to start from ground zero. Isn't that right?
Yes, you're right, brother. It was very, very different. It is very different. You know, I was working there around 35 years, and I was working with famous people and great people
right.
as well. And when I arrived here, it was very different because I start over. I start fresh.
Yeah, start so fresh.
So, but the good part, the nice part, is that it was a challenge for me, and I liked the challenging.
Yeah.
So I was working in Mexico. I was working with my own company.
Right.
I was working with another company like Televisa, TV Azteca, you know, like actor. Right. But like, as well, I was working with my own company.
So just so people know, the viewership and listenership, Televisa would be like Fox. It would be like Universal, NBC, the big conglomerates, you know, the big companies in Mexico. This is, you're working with the yeah. big, you're in the big leagues, you know? And
right.
And, yes. and so you arrive here and, you know, like, do you, I mean, you come like everyone else here with the dream, right? And so you come to Hollywood and you realize, like a lot of people do, that you have to start from scratch. You have to start over. It's like a do-over. It's like a whole new person. You have to start new and you got to go like everyone else. You know, you audition and it's harder. It's a little bit difficult at first and challenging, but I like that you're open to challenges because that's one thing about you. You're a workaholic. Ever since you and I met, you work very hard, arduously, long hours. And I'm noticing that you're making movies here. You're making lots of different cool things happen. I like to know, you know, who are some of your like people you look up to here in Hollywood? Maybe you'd like to work with or collaborate with.
Oh, in Hollywood, it will be great if one day I work with great actors like Denzel Washington,
yeah.
for instance. He's a great actor. Even I have seen some movies with Denzel Washington. No good movies in general,
yeah.
but I see the movie for him.
Right.
And when I can see the scene
right.
is meant for himself, not
yes.
for the director.
Wow.
I can feel that. No,
you can
He's
feel it.
So great. He's so great
yeah.
actor. He's a very talented and creative. Actor.
And he could convey yeah. what he's trying to convey. He could convey with his eyes. You notice that? It's like he's acting, but he's not acting, right? As we say, acting
exactly.
is like he's not acting. And yet he's able to deliver the lines in such a way where he's able to move the viewer and also get the scene across, because he carries the movie. He's the one carrying the movie across. You know what I mean? The scenes as the actor. Yeah. The other ones don't really have to. The supporting actors are very important, and you know what? God bless them. But like you said, that you could see that that was specifically tailor-made. That scene was made for him. Mm-hmm. The casting was perfect for Denzel Washington. I really love that, because that is one of my favorite actors too. What other actor? I'm just wondering.
Morgan Freeman is a great actor, and if I choose to mention a monster, is Al Pacino.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Al Pacino is
monolithic.
It's very different, but in the same way in the technique with Denzel Washington, or in the idea of could you create your character?
Yeah.
Your character or your role.
Yeah, like the character for development instance, and stuff. Yeah.
For me, the most important in an actor is when the actor proposes some authentic action.
Right.
Authentic action. I think this is the point, the most important point. And I read sometimes, and this is some similar thing between Al Pacino and Denzel Washington, and I read sometimes that Al Pacino have a clause in his contracts, and the clause is that he has right to improvise the scene, any scene he wants.
That's right. Improvise. That's absolutely the truth.
And that's you absolutely can see the truth. That in the movies.
Yeah, yeah, he has that kind of wiggle room to be able to sort of articulate things the way he wants and then ad lib. It's very amazing that he can do that. I mean, you know, it's Al Pacino, like you said, at the end of the day. He's a monster when it comes to acting, you know. He's in another level. Him and Robert De Niro. You know,
Robert De Niro as well. I admire Robert De Niro. The only difference is that I think Al Pacino choose better the pictures, the movies.
Okay.
He wants to make.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I see where you're getting at.
He choose better, and I think in one moment Robert De Niro started to make any movie.
Oh yeah, so then right. No, I get what you mean.
And you know, no?
Yeah. So some people are more selective in what kind of roles they want to, you know, undertake. And with Robert De Niro, he started making just sort of like anything that was thrown at him, he'd probably take.
Right.
Do you think sometimes it has to do with, I mean, you as an actor yourself, and I mean, you worked a lot, you know, you worked in the industry and Max, you're working here also. Do you think sometimes when people get a little older, they try something different, you know, like to try to the different, for example, you know, you want to have, you know, your palette is full, but you have different things you played, but now you want to play a comedic role, for example, maybe something like comedy. You see him in Meet the Fockers, you know, and you see this whole different side of Robert De Niro. You think sometimes people take like risks, like it's important to take risks, but sometimes people take risks. Like, for example, I want to try comedy now. And then instead of doing the same roles as the mobster, you know, like in all the other movies they played, like A Bronx Tale and films like that, Casino, Irishman, etc. Or and they tried something. They tried, you know, their luck at possibly doing comedy, you know, drama or something different. You know, what do you think? Maybe. And they, you know, like they...
I am right about it.
Yeah.
I think in my case. I was working a lot in serious roles.
Yeah, very serious ones.
I like
yeah.
it. And I like it, but when I make some funny role.
Yeah.
I am good.
You're good. I am good. You are good.
But I don't like it. But I am good.
And it's important, right? Like, it's important to see, you know, like, I think the many, you know, facets or different phases that you can sort of do throughout your career, right? As an actor, say I kind of tried it all. You know what I mean? Yeah. At the end, when it's all said and done, like, hey, you know what? I've done just about any. And then if you leverage all that, it allows you more opportunities, right? To come to your door. So to speak.
You know, I admire actors that, for instance, I admire more the comic actors or actors that make a comedy.
Sure.
That and later they jump to the serious roles.
Mm-hmm.
Another actor that they had been working serious roles and later work comedy or comic work.
Sure.
You know, there are two or three famous actors in Hollywood and one or two in Mexico that they change.
Right.
To comic.
Diversify comic, their characters.
Comic or comedy to serious.
Yeah, role. Drama and stuff like that. Let me ask you something. Because I know that you're...
Thanks for complete my ideas.
No, you have great ideas, man.
Because of my lack of vocabulary.
Yeah, your vocabulary is fine. You're doing a great job, man. You're awesome.
Has been another
challenge.
Another challenge in my life.
This is the first interview. This is the first interview you do in English. This is the first English interview you do, correct? Is that one of the first ones? Yeah. So we're lucky, man. We popped your cherry.
Interview in English. Yeah.
Listen.
It's a great day for me, brother. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. I know you're catching a flight, and you did say, so I told you I wouldn't keep you. But thank you again, Jorge Celaya. Guys, I will update you guys on things that he's doing, and then we'll have him hopefully in the studio when you're back from your trip, okay? Jorge.
Okay.
God bless you, brother. Thank you so much.
Yes, I gotta go. Thanks for having me again.
Of course.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, brother. Have a nice day.
The pleasure's all mine, my man. Take care, my man. All right. We've had great guys on here tonight. The guests that we've had are, you know, they have such a, it's a diversity, of course, of like even just the palettes, you know, like music and the other guys, an actor. I enjoy, you know, I enjoy every niche and anything artistically done because it's an artist's point of view. And as such, I have my own, you know, creative ways of perceiving it. At the end of the day, art is art. It's open to interpretation. That said, I know I have a few more minutes and I just want to spend these minutes thanking you guys for the viewership and the listenership, everyone that listens to LA Talk Radio. Remember, I'm almost famous. I'm not quite famous yet, but I have been in positions of fame. I've also have a book called Juicy Divas Confessions of a Limo Driver or Juicier Divas Confessions of a Limo Driver. And I have a podcast by the same name, Juicy Divas Confessions of a Limo Driver, respectively. And I have the Jim and James Morning Podcast. We did some time ago. It's in hiatus, as they say. We don't know when we're going to pick up the mantle there again or if we ever will. Check out my information, my stuff, Jim Francis Mesa on Google. Google me. I have lots of stories on people I've driven, pretty amazing, incredible stories. Some people tip. Some folks, they asked me earlier if Robert De Niro tipped. No, we call him Robert No De Niro. He never tips. But he is a hell of an actor. Artistically speaking, I enjoy his films. I enjoy, you know, his creative side, how he's able to come through in film. And, I love the guy. He's great. He's an awesome actor. As I said, Ashton Kutcher, no offense to him. But yeah, he was kind of a jerk to me in the car. And I've had a few others that I will talk about next time. I do want to start, like, just for shits and bits, I want to start a segment that's like called the Weekly Burn. I have a friend that, you know, likes to kind of talk about it and sort of vent with me about things that have happened, you know, stuff that happens at the store. Like, say he'll walk into a place and maybe someone has been a little crass or whatnot, and he likes to sort of shoot the shit with me and talk about it kind of after the fact. But, yeah, I love that, you know, I believe in a community. I believe in supporting one another artistically, whether it's artistic. If you guys want to collaborate with me, collab, as they say now, the kids nowadays. Low-key, I'm always up for challenges as well. If you guys have a movie and you want, you need an actor, a tall actor, I'm 6'4" and a half. I can pretty much play a lot of different things. I won't play a woman yet, right now. My girl's going to kill me when I get home. No, but I can play a good deal of characters, and I have. Just look me up. My IMDb is Jim Francis Mesa. JimFrances, instead of IS, for the purpose of the IMDb, because somebody else has the Jim Francis also on IMDb, and I wanted to be different. I am a trailblazer. I would like to think that that I want to be more famous than your average person, for the right reasons or the wrong reasons. Such thing as bad publicity, after all. I'm going to have a good friend of mine, Thomas Riccio, come on very soon, and we can talk shop about the O.J. Simpson case. Because if anybody that knows O.J., it will be Thomas Riccio. I know O.J., as he said, well, Jim, I don't know that I want to come out there. You know, O.J.'s dead. That's the one fact that can't be changed. Well, we do know that, but we like to know a little more in depth, go deep dive, as they would say, or get into it and find out some of the stuff that he knows. It's a treasure trove of information. Let me tell you, it's also on Juicy Divas Confessions of a Limo Driver. I have the segment with Thomas Riccio. He's a good friend of mine. Yeah, he's a friend of mine. So that I put it out there. He's been a friend of mine for many years. And I drove him a long time ago. Oh, and he was also my neighbor. Like, we live like literally down the street from one another in the beautiful city of Alhambra. Yeah, I want you guys to know that there's a lot of information that I still have under wraps. I am not going to disclose stuff that I shouldn't disclose of. But yeah, I really enjoy the show, and I enjoy talking to myself, right? I really do. I really do. And I like to think you guys are listening. It's funny because sometimes I'll go home and I'll spit lines. I'll just start freaking saying, like, I'll just take any freaking like line in the movie and I begin to do it. You know, like I'll quote like Tom Sizemore or something. You know, Tom Sizemore was a good friend of mine before he passed away. And we'll talk. We used to do it. In fact, before he died, real quick, guys, it's 8:49. If I have a couple more minutes, I think I do. Okay, before he passed away, a week before he died of a brain aneurysm, God rest his soul, wherever he is, he transcended, right? So we like to think his energy went elsewhere. I hope he's in heaven, to tell you the truth. The guy was really, really graciously nice. And I remember me driving him home one day, and we started doing the lines from, like, not lines, we started reading the sides, and he was telling me stuff from, like, different movies, like, he's in Heat. If you guys, they're going to do a remake of Heat, so I like to see how that, they're going to try to imagine who the hell is going to be able to play the Tom Sizemore. I like to see how that's going to play out. But Tom Sizemore used to talk about, like, do the lines and stuff. He was like, Jim, you remember Jimmy? You know, I remember this one time, you know, I came in and, you know, because he was Detective Deeds, I think. I don't know. The film was pretty amazing, and we did a lot of cool, like, you know, back and forth. So now I do it. When I go into the house, I tell my girl, you know, if you're up to doing some kind of thing, a line from a movie, from a famous film, and my girl go, oh my God, like, where have I heard that before? And the other day, she's like, now I know, you're always quoting all the movies you watch. And yes, I get entrenched in the film, and then I dissect it. I pick it off, everything, and I try to figure out the mastery, the masterfulness behind the magic of cinema. What did they do? What was the guy thinking? Why did he say what he said? And if there's like, you know, sometimes you watch a movie and then somehow at some point, like somebody edits certain parts out of it. Like, I'm not going to mention it. Okay, I will. Halloween, for example. It is an old movie, to be fair. Halloween, the first one, is 1978. There's a part where Michael Myers, you know, there's the continuity is not there. He pops up and then suddenly it's like, wait, what the fuck? And now he's like killing somebody here. How did that even happen? So I like my son and I tend to do that. Shout out to James real quick. James Matthew. You know, he's over in school right now. Or no, he's on vacation. I hope he's on vacation. I don't know. He told me he was on vacation. At any rate, who knows where he's at? But wherever you're at, son, I hope you're doing okay. And actually, that's him. That's weird, believe it or not. It's 8:51, guys. That's my show. Almost Famous. Look me up. Jim Francis Mason. Until next time, have a blessed rest of your night. Thank you.
You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Mason, only on LA Talk Radio.